And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go.
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're here to talk some dynasty football today. I have a great guest with us. That is at Theo Greminger from Player Profiler, also Fantasy Points. Content creation at both of those. He's also the content director at Player Profiler. You can find him on X at the OG Fantasy Football. Theo, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday evening of Combine Week?
I'm excited to talk shop with you. It seems like every year we get together this time of year. It is the season. It's Combine Week. For Dynasty, this is like the greatest time of year. It's all these prospects we've been studying. We get to see them at the Combine. And it means the NFL draft is right around the corner. So like yourself, I love this time of year. It's a great, great time for Dynasty.
I feel like it's like you said, it's one of those great times of you're not only already kind of the prospects you've watched throughout college football, also starting to dive into. You're also getting that offseason, the free agency stuff. You're starting to get some rumors of trades, potential cut candidates, etc. It's just a lot of a busy time. You're getting a lot of startups if you're into those. I have to not be because I got too many of them. I'm sure you're the same way, Theo, but it's a good time to be creating Dynasty content as well as just offseason fantasy content. You being a creator yourself and creating tons of content for both sites. No, like this stuff's the better stuff. It's more fun. It's the less of the start this player, don't start this player. And the repetition of a 17-week season, once you get into the offseason, the Dynasty stuff really gets fun. So I'm excited as well, Theo. This is always a great time. And we got a good show. We got a rookie mock draft. Before we dive into that, though, we got to talk about the Combine. Obviously, it's the Combine week here. What is some of the stuff that you look at for the Combine here and what it mean to you and your process as far as rookies go? You know, some people probably don't view it as heavily. Some people prefer the tape to the Combine. Some think, okay, well, really, I want this athletic testing. If you're more on the analytic side, you want those numbers to kind of put into whatever formula or creation that you have to kind of evaluate a score for your player. So for me, the Combine means something, but I'm not one that puts a ton of stock into it. I'm more of leans towards the tape first more than the numbers. So Theo, where are you as far as the Combine goes and what are you really looking for this week kind of here just in general of the Combine?
So I think that the Combine, I agree with you in an extent where, you know, you've been watching tape sort of all year long. Your stuff is great, Jeremy, when you're breaking down these prospects. And I think that I'm probably a little bit in between on that where I do care about the Combine, and I think because it gives us a better sense of the draft capital that these guys are going to have. And when it comes down to it, you can break down tape. You can know these players inside out, but at the end of the day, a fourth round running back has less of an opportunity than a first round running back. And what's the greatest indicator of a running back being able to get in the first round, early second round? Elite athleticism. So for some of the players we like, it can help push them. It can help kind of like sustain our priors on guys that we like and say, you know what, we were correct to go with these guys. The tape looks great and the athleticism is great. I think also the Combine gives us verifiable weights where a lot of what we've been going on these running backs, I mean, you've seen it, like some of the guys, you got the official weigh-ins at the Senior Bowl, but there's a lot of guys sort of sitting out there in limbo. Just how big are they? Just how fast are they? And that's going to indicate kind of the draft capital exposure they get to. So for me, I think that the Combine helps us paint a very clear picture. And then obviously draft capital after the NFL draft will have an even bigger impact, exponentially so, than the Combine. But I think the Combine, like, it sort of gets us going. I think for a lot of fantasy managers that are not as sort of deep in the weeds as we are, it marks the start of NFL draft season for them as well. So you start seeing just from like a dynasty perspective, it gives you maybe more opportunities to make some trades, more opportunities to make some moves when these, you know, fans sort of come out of the woodwork and start paying attention to these prospects. So for me, it's a whole lot of everything. I love the Combine, but I don't want to let it overrate my process. I think you want to go in liking your guys and then be a little more open-minded and be willing to take a second look at a guy if he has that impressive combine.
Yeah, much like you said, you know, I did a little bit here since 2020 as far as like the average size and the average athletic scoring for a top 12 running back of the prospects that have come out. Now that limits it a little bit as far as not overarching longevity of a huge number of pool of players. But again, like you said, a common thing is elite athleticism and size. You know, like it's fun to talk about these undersized guys, you know, like an RJ Harvey that's very undersized and he's an explosive athlete. And it doesn't mean he's going to be completely useless in fantasy, but similar guy that a lot of people I've seen a lot of comps already for is like Jaylen Warren. And like Jaylen Warren's been fantasy viable, but not consistent viability. So it's like you're really starting to see, and you can kind of, like you said, confirm bases and confirm priors. And then you're also getting true size because we see it year in and year out. Some schools are better where they're kind of spot on. And then you see other schools where, you know, what was it? I think Xavier Leggett was listed at like 6'3" or 6'4" at South Carolina. He came in at like 6 foot. Like, not that it's the 3 inches, but 3 inches is a big deal at the NFL yeah. level. So that's probably like, I would agree with you 100% there as far as what I really look at, you know, it is kind of that. And then what event is probably the one that you really is your favorite, like not the most important to you? Like, what's your favorite event to watch at the combine?
I mean, for me, I'm like a sicko with it. I enjoy watching several of them. It's got to be the 40.
Who doesn't?
I think
what's that one, you know, that gets the juices flowing?
The 40's the one where I know that we to overrate straight line speed for your fantasy evaluations is not the right way about doing things. But still, when we see a guy like Anthony Richardson 2 seasons ago, Xavier Worthy last year, run that 40, that's something where it gets us excited and it gets us kind of dreaming about these guys big picture. I'll say that I also like the gauntlet. The gauntlet's very fun to watch. Watching these receivers go through the gauntlet, especially now where we get the miles per hours in the mix, just to see how fluid they look in that gauntlet, that's been an underrated one for us. And then actually, Jeremy, the weigh-ins I think are important, and that's not necessarily mm-hmm. something you're watching, but for the tight ends, the 40 matters a ton. I think athleticism at the tight end position is obviously one that we're going to rate over athleticism at the running back and wide receiver position. Like tight end, you better be athletic if you're going to be an impactful fantasy player. So for me, like the weigh-ins this year for the tight ends, we don't want to see them be too big. Like the guys that come in like 265, 270, those guys haven't really been hitting fantasy-wise lately. And then for the running back position, I want to see some of these guys that we think are big, strong backs actually weigh in 220+. Like, let's mm-hmm. see what Cam Scataboo weighs in at. Like, is he 225? I think that there's some people saying he is. I'm not so sure about that. So, like, for me, it's a lot of a big picture. And then the 10-yard shuttle is kind of an underrated one because there's athletic measurables you can take from that one with tight ends, also with running backs, where it's also another just a factor you can put in there. So I'll say 40 is number one, but I do enjoy several of them.
Yeah, I personally am a 40 hater, we'll call it. Like you said, you know, I feel like it just gets overthrown into some metrics for people, at least in the fantasy space. Like, they need to run a certain speed, obviously, but like 4.3 and like 4.4, there isn't a huge difference. Yeah. And I'm really looking for players to hit thresholds. Like, I don't need them to be 4.3, but I don't want them to be 4.6, you know, like there's a threshold for me more so than just like, oh, I need them to be the fastest guy in the field. So like you said, the shuttle's one that I really like. I think that shows a lot more as far as athleticism and actual on the field athleticism. So I'd probably say that's pretty close to mine, but I like it. The gauntlet's fun too. I prefer the gauntlet. I think the gauntlet's just fun to watch, you know? I'm into it.
The 40, you know, it's interesting. You know, you talk about how you want to have like qualifying speeds. I think that's the appropriate way to look at it. And I think that's probably how a lot of NFL teams operate where, mm-hmm. this guy's kind of on our board. If he hits this threshold, if he's this slow, he better fall. But Scott Barrett at Fantasy Points has done a lot of studies with this one and actually betting on like the slowest 40 time in each round at the wide receiver position, like the slowest 40 wide receiver draft in the first round versus the fastest, the same thing for the second. It's actually been a better hit rate for the slowest one who's getting the mm-hmm. exact same draft capital. despite their slightly slower 40. So definitely agree with you. It can get us in trouble, but it's still fun to watch.
Oh, for sure. And I think the fans love it. You know, I know father-in-law does. My father-in-law sees anybody run a 4.2. He's like, the Bills need him.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter who he is. He's had 10 receptions in his career. He runs a 4.2. He wants them. So I'm sure the general public as well enjoys the 40. Let's do it. Let's dive into this. We're 10 minutes in. We're going to try to get through a couple rounds here with Theo. I'm going to pull this up. Hopefully you like bright mode. I am a bright mode person. So hopefully everybody following along on Twitter as well enjoys bright mode. Theo, you took two, so I'm going to take one, and I'm just going to keep it chalk here. I'm just going to do it easy here and keep this chalk, and I'm going to take Ash and Genty here. I like Genty. I know there's a lot of metrics that have scored out him as like this generational type of player. I have some concerns that I wanted to see at the combine, which we're not going to see, so I'll have to wait till the pro or till his pro day comes up. I think he's going to be a very solid NFL back. I just don't know if he's going to be up into what some of the names and where some of these scores are coming out as far as that goes. But I still think he's the clear 1-1 in this super flex 10 team, one quarterback, whatever. He still should probably come off the board as the first player.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think he's a no-brainer at one, and I'm kind of maybe a little bit more bullish on him than you are. I think with him, there's not a whole lot of negatives to his game and not a whole lot of negatives to his profile. And with me, it's Genty's the 101. He also has the most trade equity. So even if you, that matters. Like, it's sort of like taking Bijan Robinson when he was the 101. It gave you more flexibility with your dynasty team. So I agree, that's the correct decision. At the 102, even though it's super flex, I'm going to go to the wide receiver position. I think there's a clear wide receiver one in this class, and it's Tet McMillan. I think that he has this combination of outstanding size. He'll have outstanding draft capital and big time target potential, sort of in the mold of like a little bit twitchier Drake London type, where this is a player who can have 150 targets early on in his career and handle that sort of volume. And when we get that sort of target volume, the quickest way to get a guy to finish close to the wide receiver one overall is someone who's close to leading the NFL in receptions, leading the league in targets. Tet McMillan has that sort of profile in his wheelhouse, and I think he's a tier above any other wide receiver in this class.
Yeah, I feel like it's a weak wide receiver class to begin with. Like, I think there's a couple guys. I think McMillan, like you said, I think Ibuka is going to be pretty solid. I think Luther Burden could be as well, but Burden and Ibuka feel a little limited in their role capabilities at the NFL level, where I think Tet McMillan has a little more versatility to his game and obviously a higher ceiling. So I'd 100% agree with you there. As far as that goes, I feel like this is pretty chalk at 1-1 and 1-2. And I'm going to keep that going at 1-3. As long as it lets me here. Let's see here. I'm going to take Cam Ward. It's going to be the first quarterback off the board. It's a quarterback I believe in. I liked a ton of him at Washington State. I was disappointed when he didn't declare last year. It worked out for him, though, going to Miami. Definitely lit the league up there. So for me, I'm in on Cam Ward. I think he's the best quarterback hands overhead to me. I know there's some flaws in his game. He's not really a dual threat quarterback, so I don't know if there's a ton of fantasy upside, but sitting here, I want to go ahead and secure myself a quarterback because likely being the third pick, unless this was a traded pick, I want to target either wide receivers or quarterbacks. Even though it's a deep running back class, I can definitely dip into them there in the second round. So I'm going to go ahead and get myself and secure a longer likely career profile with the quarterback in Cam Ward. I think no matter where he goes, I think he will have a good situation. I know Cleveland has been the butt of some jokes as the quarterback position goes and even developing quarterbacks, but I think this is a little bit of a new chance for them. I think Ward would be able to play if it does end up being Cleveland. If it ends up being the Giants, I like that as well. Titans, I think, also could be fine as far as quarterback development goes. I'm not really worried a ton about any of these teams at the top of the draft as far as quarterback development goes.
Yeah, and I think Ward, his floor is 6 overall to Vegas. If it kind of falls south, I think he's got that locked in, but I think he's still in the mix for the 101. I think he's absolutely Tennessee's going to consider him. I know all the Abdul Carter talk, but Ward has an absolute cannon for an arm. And for us in fantasy, you know, people talk about how, he hangs on to the ball. He tries too much in terms of the downfield. Like, there's a lot of people nitpicking. I like sort of the gunslinger mentality. Mm-hmm. Those kind of guys put up fantasy numbers. So I like Kim Ward. I will deviate away from quarterback, though. I'm going to go with a flag plant. I'm going to go with Omarion Hampton, who I think is the RB class is very, very strong. But for me, Omarion Hampton is the clear RB2. It's not letting me draft him, though.
I did it.
Oh, you did it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm going to cover you here. You're going to pick your own at two. I'll do the rest.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so Omarion Hampton, Mel Kiper had him mocked 12 overall in his most recent mock draft. The over-unders on the 40-yard dash for the combine came out, and his over-under is a 4.45. So I think he's going to be faster than some people think. I mocked him inside the first round in my own mock draft. But 12 overall, like, sort of kind of gets your brain exploding. When it comes to Kiper doing it, makes me think he sort of knows something that's going to happen at the combine. But Hampton, this guy who had over 65 receptions the last 2 years combined, had 1,500 rushing yards and 15 or more rushing scores for back-to-back seasons. The only other ACC players to do that in history are Lamar Jackson, Travis Etienne, and Dalvin Cook. So he's in pretty rare company, and I think he'll get the draft capital. I think Omarion Hampton's a stud. Happy to draft him here.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of knocks on him for just being able to have just wide open running lanes. Hard to fault a guy when North Carolina's offensive line was doing that for him. I really like Hampton as well. I think he offers a ton. I think he's better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. He's not the most elusive guy. He isn't always like making a ton of people miss, but he has a good understanding of kind of the leverage point of the game and kind of getting players to overcommit to lanes and being able to cut back. So I think there's a lot to see from Hampton. I think landing spot will be a little bit key. Like you said, I think post combine, I think he's going to rise a ton just based on the pure athleticism scoring. You know, you're going to be having a guy, like you said, that's running 4.4 over almost 220, over 6 foot. Like, there's going to be a lot to like, and the NFL is going to fall in love with this guy. For me here at 1.5, I'm going to dip into potentially the running back pool as well here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Travion Henderson. Yeah, we'll go with the running backs. We'll keep it rolling this way.
He's going to light up the combine too, Jeremy.
Yeah, I like Travion Henderson. I had some concerns as far as speed went coming into the season, and that was more so proven that it was more so just the injury still lingering a little bit. He showed some of that breakaway speed this year at Ohio State, and he really showed the ability to be, he's shown that workload as a freshman to be a true workhorse, but he really showed that when he's taking almost split touches, he's even better as far as that explosiveness and ability to make these big plays go. I do want to see where he lands. I think that will be key for this running back class, and I could see him dropping a little bit here depending on some other landing spots, but I really do think the upside is there in Travion Henderson. At one point, he was talked about as being the top running back in last year's class at one point in the Devy community, so there's a lot of love here for Travion Henderson still from me. I think he's close to Omarion Hampton, and I think the combine and the pro days will kind of help separate them a little bit. I just think his lack of a power game and like kind of the size a little bit will probably push him down further than Hampton. I think people will fall in love with just the whole package that is Omarion Hampton compared to Travion Henderson. So,
yeah, I had Henderson. But I still think fantasy. Last time this year, like before before players declared whether they were coming and out for the NFL draft, I had Henderson as the number one back last year. So I think Henderson's really good. I think people are chasing that Jahmyr Gibbs type profile, and Henderson certainly has that big playability. So I think NFL teams are going to push him up the board. I think he's like a top 35, top 40 pick with a chance to go inside the first round. I think we could actually get three running backs inside the first round this year. I think NFL teams kind of know how special this class is, and the running back position is sort of back in favor with NFL teams after last season with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Plus the younger backs, Gibbs and Robinson and Achan. I'm going to go with Shedeur Sanders here. This is one where Shedeur, for me, it's at a kind of point where six overall in a super flex draft represents the sort of value where I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a longtime NFL starting quarterback. Now, what the upside is there remains to be seen, but I do think at Colorado, he was playing behind very porous offensive lines. And the weapons he had besides Travis Hunter, there's not another Colorado player is going to go on day two in this draft. So for me, Sanders had to do an awful lot at Colorado. I also think he's sort of a prospect fatigue guy where people are beating up the profile a lot. You also have kind of an underrated thing where he is very experienced, sort of like we saw last year with Bo Nix. Not saying this guy's going to be Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, both came in with a ton of starting experience. They got off to a fast start. Sanders' experience playing behind poor offensive lines, I think, actually will help him at the next level. And for me, I think he's an immediate starter out the gate. Great value at the 106.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sanders doesn't like light it up for me. I don't think he's like crazy as far as the fantasy goes, but he feels solid. Like you said, kind of Bo Nix, a very stable quarterback. I think he's going to come in and be able to not really elevate a ton of players around him, but be able to produce decent fantasy production with players around him. So I like it here at 1-6, especially in Superflex. Like, you're getting into a dangerous territory if you start passing on quarterbacks this late. He's going to have a starting job. Like you said, he's probably going to be at least top 15 at worst as far as draft capital goes. So I'm all in there as far as Sanders at 6. For 7, I'm going to dip away from the running backs, and I'm going to go ahead and take Luther Burden. Luther Burden's a guy that I still believe in. I know the production was not there this year from Missouri, but we saw it last year having a phenomenal year as far as the production went. A little bit more of a manufactured touch guy, which not many people love, but that could also be just a pure scheme approach as far as the team went. I know Brady Cook struggled a little bit as far as pushing the football down the field. So again, I still believe in the talent that is Luther Burden. I think here is a steal for a guy that was considered probably the top wide receiver entering the season in this class, as far as that goes with Luther Burden.
Yeah, and also I think a lot of people will talk about the regression this year, but you still have Luther Burden with like 10 touchdowns as a true freshman, and Luther Burden with that 1,200 yard season as a sophomore where he was like exceptional in the SEC. So like the tape is there from 2023, 2024 used differently. And also the team wasn't as good. So I think Burden's one where there could be a correction where a lot of people dropped him out of their mock first round for the real NFL draft. I think by the time we get to the real NFL draft, I think that Burden will settle in as a top 20 pick. And like you said, there's a lot to like about that profile. So good pick right there. I'm going to go back to the running back. Well, let me ask you this. Is there a tight end premium here?
No.
Okay, then I'm going to go back to the running back. And I'm going to take Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. And I think it's a little bit of a discounted version of what I did with Omarion Hampton, a 220-pound back. He's got the juice. I think that he's going to run better than some people expect. I think he'll be 4.5 or below at 220. I had an exceptional year this year. Two seasons ago, he had the Iowa record for the most rushing yardage as a freshman, sort of a quiet and somewhat banged up season in 2023, but he was exceptional this year. I think he had 9 games with at least 100 rushing yards, over 20 rushing scores in the Big Ten. I think he's a immediate starter in the NFL, and if he lands well, I think he could have a really great early success. And when we talk about draft capital, he's another guy that I think is gone before Dallas picks in the second round. I don't think there's going to be a Dallas is on the clock with the opportunity to select Caleb Johnson. I think he'll be gone before that pick. Teams in the second round, you bring up Cleveland, Caleb Johnson to Cleveland at the beginning of the second, Caleb Johnson to the Las Vegas Raiders at the beginning of the second, but maybe the New England Patriots. Several landing spots where he could land well, even if he falls out of the first round, which he probably will. But Caleb Johnson, in a lot of draft classes, Jeremy, is certainly not the RB4. So I'm happy to get him here.
Yeah, I like Caleb Johnson. I had some concerns about him on tape. One of them is speed. Like, and when I say he doesn't have like a ton of speed, like I think he's under 4.5. I'm not saying he's like a 4.6 guy, and I don't want people to take that the wrong way. I just don't think, I've seen some people say like that he's gonna hit 4.3. Like, I just don't see that.
I saw somebody say 4.4 flat, and somebody I respect, and I'm like, I agree. I don't see that. I agree with you. Like, but I think he's also one that can absorb volume, which is also sort of like, I think it's also the knock on him where if he lands in like a true committee with another back that we really like. I think Caleb Johnson's the best when he's getting to tote the rock at a high volume of carries. So like for us in fantasy, we want to see him land into like a rookie year Ken Walker type situation. I think that would be sort of like ideal, where he's getting an opportunity for volume. He's going to get an opportunity to be on the field a ton and be the clear RB1 on that team. I think that's sort of what we're looking for. I agree with you, though. I don't think he's a 4-4 like flat type, close to anywhere near that, like some people think. But Jeremy, I think if he gets like a 4.48, even a 4.5 flat, and he's 220, I think we're pretty pleased with that. And the receiving profile, like, guy had 22 receptions at a school that doesn't really throw to the running backs. So like at another school, 22 receptions would be a little bit more of a red flag, but at Iowa, nobody catches the ball. So I think Caleb's not going to be a guy that is ever like a highly targeted first read back out of the backfield, but I do think he can be a functional dump off guy and get you 40 plus receptions, 45 to 50 receptions on a season. I think that's in the wheelhouse with the profile. So I agree. I don't think he's going to burn, but I think he's a guy who has a chance to be an RB1 for multiple seasons of his career.
Yeah, I'm really shooting for a Minnesota landing spot.
That would be nice.
That's where I want it. For me, he would jump way back up my rankings if he lands back in Minnesota. If he lands in Minnesota, for me at 9, I'm going to go ahead back to the receiver. Well, I know it's a deep running back class, but for that reason, I am avoiding them a little bit here in the first round. Once these names are off the board. So I'm going to go to Ohio State's well again and go with Amik Abuka, a guy that I think has a potential to be a very good slot receiver at the NFL level. He has shown to play outside, but I think he's going to profile a little bit more to that Jackson Smith and Jigba type of role at the NFL level, kind of what the role he inherited at Ohio State. I really like what he can do. He's not super flashy, but he's effective. He's going to be able to handle a high target volume from the slot if the team chooses to. So I'm in on it. I think, especially being in like a PPR leagues, I'm all in on Amik Abuka, especially this late at 1-9. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, no, I think he's one of the safest picks in the draft too. For us in Dynasty, like, does he hit JSN levels in the NFL? Is he a Rashi Rice? I mean, I think he's going to be a very positive player, but unlike, like you talked about it before with Tet, like Egbuka and Burden to me just don't have that upside that Tet has, but I love Egbuka. I think he's a great pick. And the fact that you can get him towards the end of the first round, excellent, excellent value for you. I'm going to go ahead and take Tyler Warren, even though we don't have the premium here. I think Tyler Warren's going to end up being a top 10 pick when it's said and done. I think it's a little bit reactionary. The NFL is a copycat league. They saw what Brock Bowers was able to do in his rookie season. And I think teams are going to be more enthusiastic to draft these rookie tight ends. We certainly saw back-to-back seasons where you had tight ends finish as the tight end one overall that were both rookies in Sam Laporta and Brock Bowers. Also, you had last year two tight ends go over 100 receptions with Trey McBride and Brock Bowers. They were like third and fourth all time in terms of reception total. So I think the tight end position is in right now, and embracing youth at the tight end position is in. And Tyler Warren's numbers are silly. This is a guy who's very, very good route runner, a guy who can absorb target volume. And I think that he's got a little more juice athletically than some people would think. Even on a Penn State team where he was playing alongside two future NFL running backs, he was still getting over 200 rushing yards at the tight end position. So they were trying to get the ball in his hands because Tyler Warren is a very, very good football player. And I think he'll be a long-term, like top six, top eight tight end for us in fantasy with the potential that he could be a top three dynasty tight end pretty early on in his career.
I like that. I feel like tight ends, you tend to really look for premium landing spots where they're second option. I think even Tyler Warren feels a little almost landing spot proof in that way, because like they're going to draft him, they're going to give him football. Maybe a little bit of that Sam Laporta, like where there's too many mouths to feed at times. But definitely a guy I'll be investing in. And I feel like this is that sweet spot. You know, we tend to see that first rookie tight end come off around 7 to 10 in rookie drafts, especially when they have a profile that Tyler Warren brings to the table. And like you said, the ability to be maybe involved in the run game, also playing inside, outside, on the line, like he has a ton of positional versatility as well. And if Denver, which is in the talks, does end up with him, like, I mean, that's to the moon there for Tyler Warren. Like you said, you'd be creeping in on the Brock Bauer, Sam Laporta type rookie seasons of just heavy, heavy target volume. At 11, I feel like I'm torn here between the two at the top of this, between Quinshon Judkins and Travis Hunter. I'm probably going to go Hunter at this point in the season. And that's because I don't know where Quinshon Judkins is going to run. I'm also want to see kind of what he does at the combine a little bit as far as the athleticism goes. Very good freshman season there out of Judkins, but we saw it kind of fall off in the split touches at Ohio State. So for me, I'm going to go Travis Hunter. I think if he was declared as a full-time wide receiver, he'd be up there with Tet McMillan probably before Cam Ward. The athleticism is there. I know he's a little bit undersized for the receiver position kind of at the NFL level, but very gifted player, obviously playing both sides at Colorado. But you're getting him here because we don't know what he's going to play. So we've seen some teams say that they think he's a wide receiver full time. We've also seen probably a majority of them say he's a corner. So you're risking it, but likely picking at 11. I likely am got a pretty solid team. So I have the ability to risk it here and hopefully maybe hit that home run. If not, you know, it is what it is at this point. I probably already have a deep enough roster that I can survive a miss with Travis Hunter. But if I can hit him, and he does become a more full-time receiver, the ceiling is definitely there out of Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. Not much else to say. Travis Hunter would have been right up there with Tet McMillan if he was a full-time wide receiver. Athletically, incredibly gifted player. And you also have to think that his development at the wide receiver spot was probably held back because he was playing every single snap at cornerback. So, like, Travis Hunter, it would be great for the managers drafting at this point. Just roll the dice, take him here. You might get stuck with a player that's a part-time player, but if you do find that head coach who's willing to break norms and play a guy full-time on offense and use him on defense, then you might end up with something where Hunter is just, even on a 65% snaps at wide receiver, he could still have double-digit touchdown catches. So big-time player and great value. For me at 12, I get back-to-back picks here. I will take Jackson Dart, who I think is going to end up being a first-round draft pick at the quarterback position. I know that there's some mixed opinions on him, but I think by the time that we get through the NFL draft, a lot of times you see, Jeremy, that period of time where people have rankings and people have to do a quick adjustment before their dynasty rookie drafts. For me, I think it's going to be that way with Dart. I think he did enough at the Senior Bowl, and I think he did enough on the field this year. He's got enough mobility and a very, very good arm that I think someone's going to take him inside the first round. And you know how this is too, Jeremy. When you start seeing these guys projected to go somewhere at like 28, 29, 30, like the Vegas over-unders for a draft landing spot, when it's the quarterback spot, either they fall completely out of the first round or they can go way, way higher. You saw it last year with Bo Nix and Michael Penix, where the betting markets didn't fully show you where their ceiling was to be drafted at. And I think with Dart, if we think he's going to be a first-round pick, he'll probably end up being a top 15 pick with the way teams maneuver around for the quarterback position. So Jackson Dart there. And then you mentioned Quinshon Judkins. I actually was in another rookie mock draft earlier today, and I took him at the 201. So I guess I'm loving the 201. We talked about Hampton. We talked about Johnson. Like, Judkins, to me, it's another player where I think he's a starting running back in the NFL. And I think that he's the kind of guy that can take somebody's job. He's 220. He's 6 feet tall. You mentioned that he was great as a freshman and certainly not quite as good. The guy still had 3 touchdowns in the national title game, and he had double-digit touchdowns in a committee backfield with our number 5 overall pick in Trevion Henderson. So Judkins, it's a little bit like that prospect fatigue thing, Jeremy, where you were so high on this guy as a freshman, setting records in the SEC, only trailing Herschel Walker in terms of rushing yardage, like crazy, crazy stats at Ole Miss, and still did well this year at Ohio State. And I think Judkins, if he was in last year's draft, would have been right there with Jonathan Brooks for us, if not right ahead of him when we go head-to-head the prospects. So, like, he would have been the RB2 in last year's class, if not the RB1. I'm happy to get him here at the 201.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys that makes me want to pass sometimes on some of the running backs early in the draft. You know, I feel like this point is a sweet spot. I really like Quinshon Judkins. And I agree with you 100% basically what you're saying. I'm going to go ahead and take this pick, and then we're going to stop. And then we're going to go ahead and give them kind of one player you're really hoping for, and then we'll get you out of here. I don't want to keep you too long. But I just want
to
mention,
like, four rounds with you, Jeremy. I was really,
yeah,
to go,
I mean, yeah, I could.
No, we'll do it again.
Everybody's going to stick around for 5 hours. So,
that's right. That's right.
We could do a whole 15 rounds of just rookies, right? No. I'm going to take Trey Harris here at the 2-2. I think this is really good value for him. I think you probably won't be able to get him here when you actually draft. I think the combine is going to be a big thing. I think as we lead into the draft, his name's going to rise. I think there's potential he sneaks into the first round as far as the NFL draft goes. The numbers analytically are very good and very strong. He missed most of the season with an injury this year, but he's a guy that really produced at Ole Miss. I know he's a senior, so he's a little bit of that late declare that we don't love, but a very good body control guy, works very well on the boundary. Speedy, worked on his yards after the catch ability as well. He can kind of do that as well. I think he's a perfect fit in the right situation. And depending on that, I could see himself push himself in the first round as far as the NFL draft goes, and potentially even rookie drafts here kind of in the late. I think he's in a good spot here. I don't think he'll climb into like five territory, but I could see him maybe sneaking into the back here, 9 to say 2-4. So what's that? 13, between 9 and 13 as far as the picks go, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so I'll stay. Gosh, I really want to go back to the tight end position here, but again, when we talk about the value of the first round wide receiver, I think Matthew Golden will end up being a first round wide receiver, and I think he's actually going to land very, very well. So I think a lot of your enthusiasm for Trey Harris, I sort of share for Matthew Golden. Golden had 1 year. Actually, it's very similar. Both the guys transferred up to the SEC and produced. Matthew Golden obviously had his time at Houston, but this guy's a track background. He's got background as a returner at Houston. At Texas, he led them in touchdown receptions, averaged over 17 yards per reception, as did Harris. Both have big playability, but we saw what Golden was capable of in the SEC championship game, followed up by the college football playoff against Arizona State. Really played his best football at the end of the year. I think if Golden would have gone back to Texas this year, there's a chance that he would have been really, really highly drafted for us next year. So I think Golden for me also, when I'm doing NFL projections, I think he's in the wheelhouse for teams like the Houston Texans, like the LA Rams, like the Washington Commanders, and for your Buffalo Bills could use a player like Matthew Golden. So I think Golden's going to land well. I think for me, he's an underrated prospect now, and I think he'll gain a little value at the combine.
I like that. I've been growing on Golden. I haven't watched enough, like a deep dive into him, to really push him super high yet. I'm excited to see what he does at the combine, and obviously he might be the next guy I dive into. I just hit Jaden Higgins, just dropped that report today, so maybe I'll go to Matthew Golden. Maybe we'll dive into there. We'll see what the mind takes me later this evening. All right, Theo, one last final player that you have somewhere on your board that you are enamored with, that you really think somebody should be leaving their rookie draft with here in the first, say, five rounds or so. Most of them are five rounds nowadays, but somewhere in there, just a later round, mid-round guy that you really, really thoroughly enjoy, they should be looking at and paying attention to when they come up.
Yes, that's a great, great question. And I think in this year's draft, what's interesting is you actually have viability out of some of your later round picks, because the rookie class is so strong, especially at the running back position, that taking some shots on those guys in like the third, fourth round, the hit rates might not always be as good, but I think this year the hit rates are going to be a little bit better. And I think a lot of these guys are going to sort of potentially nuke some running backs ahead of them. But I'll mention another wide receiver. I think that the marketplace is not high enough right now on Jack Betch. I think Jack Betch from TCU, this is a guy where I had a chance to see him down at the Senior Bowl. He had a very strong Senior Bowl. Everybody knows the story, the off-field like tragedy with his brother and everything like that. But when you look at Jack Betch, this is a guy that I think could be the next Adam Thielen in the pros. He's very well built. He can move around, and I think he can be a matchup nightmare if he lands correctly. So we talk about the lack of depth at the wide receiver position, but I think Jack Betch is the kind of guy that could really improve this class. And I think one thing we've seen for the last few years is the guys who shine at the Senior Bowl have better draft capital than people are sometimes projecting. And I think he's done enough down in Mobile that if he backs it up with a solid combine, I think you're going to see him inside the top 50 selections with a chance to land very, very well. So I'm definitely into him, but I can name about 12 running backs right now. Jeremy, the running back class is just so sick. This is the year where you want to take a bunch of shots on running back, load your dynasty roster, especially in deep dynasty formats. Like even those late third round picks, those fourth round picks, there's going to be running backs who are viable in the fourth round, not throwaway type guys. There's like, you talk to some people that are like expert NFL draft people, forget fantasy. And they are saying things like, I have 9 running backs in like my top 80 overall for the NFL draft. So this is a exceptional running back class. And we factor it in with last year's class, not so good. Next year's class on paper, 2026, not nearly as good as 2025. So this is your year. Go get a bunch of running backs. Take some shots on these guys like Breshard Smith, LaQuint Allen, Bashaul Tutin. Those guys are going to be like third round picks, early fourth. There's still viability there for you.
I agree. I think that that's going to probably be my mentality once we get closer, because trying to fit all the running backs I want in my top 50 of a Superflex ranking is like impossible.
It's impossible.
They could basically just be running backs.
And Jeremy, I don't know what you're like. I don't know what like your ranking point where it gets like really difficult, the running back position. But like I have like a top 7. And then when I start trying to rank like running back 8, 9, 10, it's sort of difficult. And then when I go from like running back 11 through running back 18, like you get down and you're like, how can I have this guy ranked as running back 16? He's really, really good. This draft is just deep at the running back spot. So
yeah, there's like Dylan Sampson's one of those. Like I love Dylan Sampson. Like what I see on tape, and I see some people I'm at like 5, but I'm like, I just can't get him there. Like I just can't. Like compared to the rest of the class, I'm like, I don't think he's bad. I just like, there's so many other players I like better and I think have a better profile. So I get it. And that's where it is. That's a struggle. Like you said, that's probably going to be my approach as well this offseason in rookie drafts, is just hammering that running back position in rounds 3, 4, and 5. As long as there's still some good names, obviously there might be some wide receiver value that falls in there and it might deviate a little, but if I can, like you said, I'm going to be loading up on those running backs in the back half of the draft. All right, Theo, I appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming in, doing this 12-team run round, basically, super flex mock. It's tough to get through more than that in a half hour. So before you get out of here, Theo, let everybody know where they can find you and anything cool you got coming up.
Yeah, so you can look for all my podcasts over at Player Profiler and at Fantasy Points. I'm doing also a number of articles. I dropped my NFL mock draft 3.0, Jeremy. I've dropped 3 of them over at Player Profiler. And then over at Fantasy Points, I did a way too early top 25 for redraft. It expands to a top 50 right after the combine. And spoiler alert, I'll have Omarion Hampton and Tet McMillan pretty highly ranked in redraft as well. So yeah, definitely go and check that out. And yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Always love chopping it up with you. Always love talking to you this time of year, Jeremy.
I appreciate the kind words. The pleasure was all mine though, Theo. So until next time, make sure you head on over to X, follow Theo, follow myself, follow FTN Fantasy, Paul Player Profile, Fantasy Points, all of the landed above, all have great tools and great advice from great content creators. And until next time, thank you for listening. Take care.